A dream while you were talking. That would indicate I was asleep, but anyway.
So we're still sleeping now.
It always is a blessing out here. Allergies are bothering me a little today, so if I tear up or sneeze or anyway. Last night, Susie Kime fixed us dinner. What a blessing that was. And Bob and Donna had to go to an art festival, or no, the film festival, Underwater Sea Film Festival. And they opened their house to us and let us come in and listen to the internet, because our son's football games, we couldn't get to it this weekend. Or, you know, we're here, so we're not. But they play them over the internet, and we always try to listen to them. And they said, well, we're not going to be at our house, but come on over. Sure, they're my sister-in-law and my brother-in-law, but you know what? It's just such a blessing. Susie came over and fixed us dinner, wouldn't let us do anything. That was neat. Excuse me. When we came up today, I saw the new paint job and the new paneling. So, David, you can finally say, how do you like our paneling? Yeah. And John and Don and put that together and did all that fine work. And Lord, just bless you for that. It looked really, really nice. If we turn to 11 Kings, 7, 9, oh, I'm sorry, it's 2 Kings. I wrote it in Roman numerals, so 2 Kings. 2 Kings 7. Hi, Terry. If you follow sports at any level, at any sporting, whether it be football, baseball, or whatever, you notice that they have what's called a depth chart. And I know my son's football games, we look on the program they give us, and they tell you the depth chart, and it tells you who the starters are and who the backups are and all that, and when certain players go in and all. And that's fine. That's the way it should be in sports. That's the way it is. Whether it should be or not, I don't, you know, but that's the way it is. But you know what? God doesn't have a depth chart. He doesn't have it assigned where you fill a certain spot, and then when you wait for the guy in front of you to get injured or to be out of town or can't make it, then you'll get your chance to move in. It's not that way with God. If God's going to use anybody, which he does, or when God uses someone, it's going to be you. It's not because someone else isn't available. It's not because, well, I guess I missed my chance. I didn't perform well in the past. And during, you know, using the sport analogy, during the practice times, I wasn't up to snuff, and so the coach isn't going to put me in. God uses who he chooses. He's chosen all of us. He doesn't have a depth chart where he's looking, well, if this one, I'm going to use you, you might be third or fourth or fifth down the line, but I'll put you in when those in front of you aren't available. He's looking for those who have an open heart and are willing to do his will. And a lot of times he chooses those who aren't even looking for it. Gideon was out, what, in the wheat press or the wine press somewhere, working away. I think it even the thing he was working in was may even have been below ground level. God found him out and said, I've chosen you. And he tells him, you're a mighty warrior. And, you know, Gideon said, who, me? Don't you realize who I am? I'm the least. In the depth chart, God, I'm down the very bottom. I'm going to have to wait till all these other guys get used before you can use me. But no, God goes down there and says, I'm going to use you. I think there's times where we feel like there's just too many things in front of me, or I have to become something before I can move out. But God doesn't have a depth chart. He looks for a heart and says, that's the one I'm going to use. That's who I'm calling. You look back at, was it with David? David's father paraded all his older brothers in front of, you know, in front of Samuel. And he goes, no, these guys just don't cut it. Where's your other? Don't you have another son? Yeah, but he's the youngest. You got to go through you have to go through here first and here and then there. But no, God's looking at the one that he can use, who has an open heart and a willingness and an understanding that, yes, I can be used of God. 1 Corinthians 3:16, Paul says, don't you know you're the temple of the Holy Spirit? Don't you know that the Spirit of God abides in you? And I think sometimes we forget that. I was really appreciative of the songs Ray led this morning, especially the one, The Lord of this Day is of Excellency. I don't know about you, but with me, sometimes I forget what I have. I have a lot of collections of things, and I can be going through my record collection, those big round black things that used to have. And my wife can attest to this. I'll go through someday with, I'm just thumbing through them, and I go, oh, I forgot I had this record. And it brings a real joy to realize, you know, I had something I thought I didn't even know I had, or I had forgot that I had. And that song, Ray, this morning was just, it was like that. It was like finding something again that I had forgotten about or didn't even realize I had it. And I think that's a lot of times we the Lord comes to us because we have that feeling of, well, I really don't have very much. And the Lord shines his light on what you have, or he calls you and touches you. And he brings to your heart and your spirit and your eyes and your mind that, yes, this is what I do have. Paul was right. We do have the Spirit of God abiding in us. Well, 2 Kings 7. And verse 3. It says, now there were four leprous men at the entrance of the gate, and they said to one another, why do we sit here until we die? If we say we'll enter the city, then the famine is in the city, and we will die there. And if we sit here, we die also. Now therefore come and let us go over to the camp of the Arameans. If they spare us, we will live, and if they kill us, we will die. Anyone ever been in a situation where you just feel like, well, no matter what I do, you know, if it works out, great. If it doesn't, okay. I wasn't expecting it to work out anyway. You know, it's like there's a level of expectation that you just kind of given up hope. If I stay here, I'm going to die. If we go over there, we might die. But if we do go over there and die, we were going to die here anyway. It says they arose at twilight to go to the camp of the Arameans. When they came to the outskirts of the camp of the Arameans, behold, there was no one there. For the Lord had caused the army of the Arameans to hear a sound of chariots and a sound of horses, even the sound of a great army. So they said to one another, behold, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Therefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their donkeys, even the camp just as it was, and fled for their life, because of four lepers who decided to move out. Because of four lepers who said, hey, you know what? We're in this situation. We might as well move anyway. So they take a step of faith and they move, and the enemy thinks it's a big army coming at them. Oh, what changes God brings when we decide to move out. I don't know how lepers walk. I don't know what they do, but I mean, can you imagine just four lepers limping around, and they get to the tent, and the enemy is so frightened that they leave everything. It says when the lepers came to the outskirts of the camp, They entered one tent and ate and drank and carried their silver and golden clothes and went and hid them. And they returned and entered another tent and carried from there also and went and hid them. Then they said to one another, and this is the gist of the word, we are not doing right. This is a day of good news, but we are keeping silent. If we wait until morning light, punishment will overtake us. Now therefore come, let us go and tell the king's household. So they came and called to the gatekeepers of the city, and they told them, saying, we came to the camp of the Arameans, and behold, there was no one there. And they recount the story. They were sitting, and they looked at themselves, and they said, this isn't right. This is a day of good news, but we are keeping silent. You can read in the headlines of the newspapers, and you can see all the bad things happening, like David was talking about. You can even read Christian publications, and all they seem to be talking about is all the doom and gloom, and how, you know, this is God's judgment over here, and this is why this flood came, and this is why this fire came. And I don't know about that. I don't know. But I do know there's good news. I do know the good news, and it's wrong not to share that. It's wrong to only be focused on that which is negative and that which is, you know, is happening in the world. But we have a good news within us. His name is Jesus Christ. It's wrong if we don't share that. Let's look at Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15, and look at verse 30. It says, bright eyes, glad in the heart. Bob and Donna Gladden are mentioned in the scriptures. What do you know? Bright eyes, glad in the heart. Good news puts fat on the bones. Good news puts fat on the bones. You want to feel satisfied? You want to see full, be full? Share the good news. Give me some good news, Jeff. You know, I hear he's going to Milwaukee. That's good news. Because now they over there will be blessed with what you have and share here. Tell me what God is doing, you know, in your life. Share what the Lord has done. Share with the victories that God has given us and wrought for us. That's the good news. We want our bones fattened. That will do it. We become full with that good news of the gospel. Amen. Let's look at Romans 10. Romans 10 and verse 15. It says, how will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. When Paul would go to the churches, he said, I didn't want to know anything among you except Christ and him crucified. Right. All I want to know is the good news. All I want to hear from you is what God has done. How blessed are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. It says, however, they did not all heed the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? It says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. But I say, surely they have heard. Verse 17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. The good news is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's share with one another that which he's wrought in our hearts and done in our lives. And let's look at Luke 2. We tend to read this scripture only during Christmas holidays and December rolls around. But this is a scripture that we can read and embrace and take to our heart every day of the year. Luke chapter 2, we'll start with verse 10. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Christ is the good news. People can look out and they see things happening and they say, we want answers and we need answers. So there's only one answer. His name is Jesus Christ. Yeah, but I'm unsure about this. What's going to happen after this earthquake? Or I don't know what to do. There's good news. His name is Jesus Christ. That's the good news. God is alive. He's in you. He's in me. That's what we share with people. That's the good news that we want to bring and share with one another. The Lord bless our hearts. See that that we do have the Spirit of God in us. That we all can move out. That there is no waiting or just waiting for certain circumstances to happen before you can minister, before you can meet people. The disciples came up to Jesus in the feeding of the 5,000. And they said, "Lord, send them away. There's too many people here for us to feed. Send them away so they can go buy food for themselves." And what did Jesus say to them? "You feed them. You feed them. You feed them." "But Lord, there's too many. We don't have enough money." "You feed them. Well, all we got is these fishes and a few loaves. Go ahead and feed them." What a beautiful thing if they would have just kind of said, "Well, okay, how should we do this?" You know, and a lot of times we do that. We stumble through things, but we're acting. We're in action. We don't want to come to people who are in need and say, "Boy, now how can I get this person to church? How can I get them over to the ministry so they can minister to them? What can I do to..." No, you feed them. You minister to them. The disciples backed, you know, and backed away, and Jesus fed them. We all know the story. They pick up 12 baskets full of leftovers. I don't know. I think it just means they had 12 baskets left over. I don't know if significant or not, but he has enough to feed them. They give what they have. The little boy gives his lunch, and they feed everyone. Be open and be and realize and be aware when the Lord speaks to your heart and says, "You feed them. You minister to them." There are people in the world, people where we work, where we play, where we go, where we visit. There are people there who need the good news brought to them. It's not a matter of, you know, getting them, maneuvering them to a church service or to a home meeting. It's a matter of realizing, you know what? God's put his Spirit within me. I can minister to them. You might shake about it, but that's okay. God always uses what? The unwise to confound the wise, the unlearned. That's what they said of the disciples. These are unlearned men. Be aware of what God's put within our hearts. And Lord, we take a step that we're going to share the good news with those around us, where we live and work and play with each other, that we can be an encouragement to one another. Lord, we realize that you put your Spirit within us, and that we can move out, that we don't look for others who are in front or who we think are in front of us to be removed or not there. But Lord, we know that your calling is within our own hearts, and you've called each and every one of us to bring your good news to this world. Amen. Amen. Amen.
recognize that in the church world, this revelation has been lost to a large extent. You've got so many people that in a sense are burying their talent or really don't recognize their calling, and their conditioning is just like John was saying, let's get them to church, let's get them to somebody else who can do it.
Yeah.
But everyone that has experienced that salvation and have Christ and the Holy Spirit within, you are called. And I think we're going to see this open up where people are going to recognize. That's why we have the, you talk about apostles, prophets, the whole structure. What was it given for? For the building up of the body of Christ, the equipping of the saints. There's going to be that step of maturity where people are going to recognize the good news that they carry around within their heart every day. And the Lord bless this word to our hearts. I mean, it's like what the miracle took place with the loaves and fishes. When we're ministering the good news of Christ, nothing's impossible. If we're outside that, doing a lot of other religious things or doing things apart from what the Spirit's doing, yeah, we're going to get drained, we're going to get tired, we don't have enough to meet the need. But when Jesus Christ is directing us and we're sharing the good news of who he is, there's no drain, there's no limit. Good news. Let me read this real quick. Come on up, Terry. I'm just going to read this. Jesus described what good news was, and this is from Isaiah. He reads it in Luke 4:18. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, set free those who are downtrodden, proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." Good news, release, healing, revelation, sight. What's the favorable year of the Lord? It means people getting a revelation of how God really feels about them. Hey, God loves me, right. He accepts me. That's all the anointed living word of good news. Amen.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Many times, you know, we look at ourselves and we evaluate ourselves. Well, I don't have the tools, or I don't have the strength. And this came to me in the worship. The Lord said, evaluate me. We don't need to evaluate ourselves. Evaluate him. That's where everything is.
That's what Joshua and Caleb did.
Yeah.
They evaluated the Lord.
That's it. That's right.
I think I mentioned a while back that I had been in touch with Leslie Labadie, who's a missionary in Africa.
Which, don't stand up. Why don't you come up front so we can hear you?
We were talking on the telephone, and she was saying, you know, we're having just a conversation, what's been going on in our lives with the Lord and so forth. And she says, oh, I'm getting a message. And I'm waiting for a moment. She says, the Lord is saying that he knows you. He knows your heart. He knows the heartache. He knows all of the things in the past and how you've never abandoned him and he has never abandoned you. But he wants you to know that now he has cleansed you and you are like a child. Come to his altar, stand there, and do nothing and watch him work.
Let's stand together. This scripture came to me, and I'll just let's make this our closing prayer. It's from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. "For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, nor many mighty, nor many noble. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised, God has chosen the things that are not, that he might nullify the things that are, that no one should boast before God. But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Let him who boasts, boast in the Lord." Lord, we thank you for your word today. Thank you for opening our eyes to the calling and the good news that's alive within us. Let it flow forth as you will, Lord. We give you praise. Amen. Amen. Good. We're dismissed.